the holiday spirit? Yeah, I hope so. If you dared to go out the last couple days in the stores, all the pushing and shoving and honking and yelling and screaming and all of that, I'll tell you, I'll let you know that we're we're in that season again. Yeah. And we sing joy to the world, and yet sometimes the most joyous thing for somebody is for the guy in front of him to get out of the way. Oh, boy. Well, I hope that you don't allow the events of the season to rob you of your joy. Keep the Christmas joy. And I'm always taken this time of year with the lights and the lights of Christmas. I enjoy them immensely. Just to, you know, drive down the street, and it's like a surprise. You know, there are some folks that actually put their Christmas lights up before Thanksgiving, and it's kind of a surprise. You're driving through a neighborhood or down the street, and all of a sudden you see these lights, and almost immediately there's just something real positive that happens on the inside. You say, "Oh, look at that." That's the way you kind of react. But look at that. You look at the beauty of the lights and everything. There's something about having the lights of Christmas shine brightly. Just something about it. It brings joy. It brings a warm feeling. It might be nostalgia for some, reminding them of days in the past when, as a child, they saw the bright lights of Christmas on the tree or on their house. There's something about the lights of Christmas. And there is an attempt, we know, it's kind of ridiculous, and it's been happening every year. People that, for whatever reason, they get angry at Christ, they get angry at God, they get angry at Christians, I guess, and even if they're not angry, they just want to somehow extinguish the lights of Christmas. They don't want to have it in the public square. They don't want to have it in sight. If you want to celebrate Christmas the way you want to celebrate it, that's all right, but keep it to yourself and don't in any way impinge upon me and my rights. And so there are some that they don't really appreciate the lights of Christmas. I'm going to ask you a question. Think about it a moment. The question is, what is more powerful, darkness or light? When you think about it, I don't know if you've ever been in an area where there's total darkness. Most of us don't experience that, because even at nighttime, it may be dark, but it's not total darkness. You have to, you know, go into a cave or something deep in the earth, someplace where there's absolutely no light seepage through walls or anything like that, and to experience it. I've experienced it on a couple of occasions, and I'll tell you, it's kind of an eerie, if you're totally quiet, you can have somebody right next to you. But if everybody's totally quiet, it's an eerie feeling to be in total darkness. Total darkness. And you're kind of wondering, oh, are you still there? Is somebody still there? You know, you're wondering about, you're hoping they're still there. You get this overwhelming feeling of loneliness. It's a really, if you've never experienced it before, you ought to, if you ever have an opportunity sometime to, there are some of these caves that you can go into around the country, and they'll part of the trip is they'll take you into an inner recess, and they'll turn off all the lights and give you that experience, so you'll know what it means to be in total darkness. Believe me, take my word for it. It is a very eerie, and it could be a very frightening experience for some people. And you thank God when they flip the switch and the lights are on again. So dark, there's power in darkness. And the question is, what's more powerful, darkness or light? I think the lights of Christmas represent a powerful truth revealed in Scripture. The Christ of Christmas will always prevail because of this simple truth. You ask, what is greater, darkness or light? Think about this. A single match lit in the absolute darkness of a cave will reveal the answer as to what's more powerful. Just one little match Darkness may appear to be very powerful and overwhelming when you're caught up in it. But just a single match, strike the match and light it, and what happens? All attention is drawn to it. You begin to see certain images around you. Just a little bit of light. It's amazing. The power of light. It stands as a representation of the power of the risen Christ. Many have tried to extinguish the light. Why? Because it reveals man's need for a Savior. You see, light reveals. Darkness covers and hides. You could be the ugliest person that walks the face of the earth, and I'd never know it if you were in total darkness. But light, now that's something else. All you need is a little glimmer of light, and it reveals things that otherwise are unseen and unknown. It's an amazing thing. You stop and think about it. The power of light. And this is the reality of Christmas. The reality that it heralds each year at this festive season that causes society to pause for a moment to acknowledge the simple truth that a baby, now not just any baby, but a very special baby, the very Son of God, was born into this world to give us light that would lead us out of the darkness of this world. It's a very strong symbolic truth that we find in Scripture. And this morning, just for a few moments, I would like to take a look at this truth, the power of Christmas, found in the light of Christmas. 1 John chapter 1 says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We have the sun to light the day, and we have the moon to give us guidance at night. But in the heavenlies, in heaven, there are neither. You have God himself is the light." There's something about the very nature of God that radiates the brilliance of light. Those who have had these after-death experiences, and they live to tell about it, they come back to life, oftentimes describe a bright light, brighter than anything they've ever seen. And I don't know, I've not had that journey that some have had, but it seems to me that it fits right in, at least with a portion of Scripture that talks about the light of God, the celestial city, the heavenly place where God is, the radiance of the God we serve. It illustrates his power. It speaks of his power. Now that's important for us as Christians, especially the way the Scripture talks about light and what our life is today in this world. John's epistle, he says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." I'd like to take you to the Gospel of John, and let's take a look at the first chapter and reading those first verses that we find at the beginning of John's Gospel. It really has a tremendous message for us when we talk about light and darkness and the significance of the Nativity and the Christmas story that we are celebrating. But let's take a look at that. It's the Gospel of John, the first chapter. I'm going to be reading through a number of verses here just to give you this excellent discussion that John has got here of light and how it affects this world and the importance of it. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." So we know that the Word, speaking of Christ here, says the Word, it's the personalization of the Word in Christ. "All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." So we get the idea that Christ was there in the beginning, in the generation of all things, beginning of all things. Jesus is there. That's what it says. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Isn't that interesting? The light of men. That the light is in Christ, speaking of Christ here, the living word, and that light that is in Christ is the light of men. Goes on to say, the light shines in the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. So the light comes into the world. The world doesn't understand it, doesn't understand what it's all about. John comes as a forerunner. He's going to talk about this light. He talks about the true light coming into the world that enlightens every man. Verse 10, he was in the world, the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we have that description of Jesus coming into the world. A darkened world, the light of God piercing the darkness of the world. Now I want to just give you a few thoughts and observation of this discussion of light and some other passages we find in the Word concerning it. I think it is evident, it's evident certainly from any news report that we might receive of attempts that are being made to strip Christmas out of programs and the celebrations of Christmas out of the experience, the common everyday experience of people in our society and in other places in the world. The world system has a difficult time understanding this light. Say, why doesn't everybody love Christmas? I mean, seems to be like a no-brainer. People like to get gifts. You know, people like to get. Of course, some people don't like to have to give a gift, but I think most people like to get a gift. You would think, why wouldn't people just embrace Christmas for what it is, and why get excited about it, and why do they have to be, you know, such a so grumpy about it? Why do they have to interject themselves into something that's a wonderful, wonderful? It's a wonderful festive celebration that we have every year. Why do people have to be that way? Well, it says the world has a tough time with understanding the light. And you see, Christmas really speaks to this whole issue of God who is light and Jesus, the light of the world. It speaks to that issue. If you could have Christmas without Christ, isn't that funny? But that's really what people want. Stop and think about it. People want Christmas without Christ. That is, they want all the festivities, all the celebrations. Just don't include Christ. Because if you include Christ, then all of a sudden we're, you know, you're trying to force something on us that we don't want. Well, you know, the point is this, and I like to remind people who are of that persuasion that, listen, if it weren't for Christ, you wouldn't have Christmas. The very fact that the world pauses and reorders its schedule to fit in this special occasion that we call Christmas. You can travel throughout the world, and at Christmas time, you'll find somebody somewhere. And especially in Western nations, it affects our society, our economy, and everything. That all happens because of the Christ of Christmas. You take Christ out of Christmas, you don't have a holiday, so to speak. It's all centered around Jesus coming to this earth. And yet, people want to take Christ out of Christmas. They want to do something to the holiday. You think you're just going to have a holiday? You think people can just have a holiday without emphasizing the reason? Why are we getting together? Why are we giving gifts? Why are we doing what we're doing? Well, the skeptic would say, well, we're just doing it because of goodwill. We want to do it. Yes, but it goes back to the fact that God loved us so much that he gave, and Jesus came, and he has given us life, and now we celebrate that. We celebrate that. That's what we celebrate. But the world has a very difficult time understanding this light. In John 1, in verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. How about that? So the gospel goes forth, and the message of Christmas seems to be clear to those of the faith. And yet it's not so clear to others. They just don't comprehend it. In fact, some don't want to comprehend it. Secondly, not only does the world have a difficult time understanding this light, but you really cannot separate this light from Christ. John 8, 12 says this. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There it is again. There's something about this concept of light, the fact that God is light, the fact that Christ has light, that he is the light, and that he gives us light. There's something eternal about that whole message. You cannot separate the lights of Christmas from Christ, not the symbolism of it. That's why we have, I believe, that's why we light up our houses, that's why some neighbors want to outdo other neighbors on their street. And they'll have a bigger display this year than they had last year. In fact, from time to time, you hear of a house even burning down because they overdid it, you know. They went one to outdo somebody, and they overloaded their system and came home and found their house was burned to the ground. We hear of things like that from time to time. What are they trying to do? Well, perhaps their ambition and their desire is not a holy one. They're in competition with others. I don't know. But the fact is they wanted to have those bright lights, and unfortunately they kind of overdid it. It's the wrong motive, perhaps, but it does, again, speak to this fact that there's something about Christmas that speaks to us of light. You cannot separate light from Christ. Jesus saying to the people, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Not only is Jesus that light, but also we find this about light in Christmas time. The light of Christ is absolutely essential for living a successful life. There are some who are wondering about life itself and what the answer is, what the key is. John 12:35 says this. Jesus says to them, he says, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. In other words, having the light of God in your life is essential for success in life. You really don't understand life. You don't know where you're going if you try to eliminate the light of Christ from your life. If you don't embrace God, if you don't embrace Christ, you're really in a fog. You're really wandering in darkness. You need the light of Christ just to figure it all out. Just to have an idea of direction as to where you're headed. That's why it's so important. You know, the scripture says this, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will fall into place. That's my paraphrase, you know. All these things will be added unto you. The idea is if you will seek God, if you'll put him first, then all of the other things you're concerned about, you're thinking about, you're worried about, you're considering, everything else will fall into place. The problem is too many people are concerned with the things of this life more than they are about the things of God. They kind of get it turned around. If you're concerned more about, you know, what you're going to be doing tomorrow, what kind of a life you're going to lead, you know, what kind of profession you're going to have, what kind of things you're going to aspire for, you know, if those are paramount in your life, and Christ is kind of a sideline issue, that's a sideline concern. Yeah, I'll read my Bible, I'll do these things too, but I'm most concerned about this, and you put your own desires above those of Christ, then you're just not going to get it. You need to seek the light of God first. If you will put Him first, you know, and there's a reason for that. Just like light shines in the darkness and it gives direction, that's exactly what will happen. When you focus your life on Christ and the light of God is in you, it lightens the way. It shows you how to go. It shows you what kind of decisions to make, the right decisions to make. And by making the right decisions, you come to an outcome that will bless your life. If you don't have the light of God shining through you in the decisions you make, what's going to happen is it's going to be very difficult to see where God is. It's going to be very difficult to make out what's happening in your life. You're going to have more questions than answers. How do you want to live your life? You want to live your life always wondering what's ahead and questioning not knowing? You can have an assurance of where you're headed and what God has for you as you walk in the light. Well, not only do we see this, that the light of Christ is absolutely essential for living a successful life, the light reveals the truth about our lives. Now, I'm just going to give you a few verses here that illustrate this. The light reveals the truth about our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, "Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motive of men's hearts. Then each man's praise will come to him from God." It talks about the light of God coming. It talks about how sometimes we're very judgmental in things, and we need to be careful. Now, it doesn't mean you can't know the truth. It says that we're supposed to be wise, and we're supposed to know the times and the seasons, and we're not supposed to be duped about things. You're supposed to speak the truth, but speak it in love. So there are these things that the Scripture tells us. But also it says this, that when God comes, there are some people that are saying things and doing things, and the truth, the reality of it, is hidden from us. We don't understand it. We don't see it as it is. We don't know the motives. But the day is coming when the light of God is going to reveal those motives. There's going to be a real surprise for some folk. Some people who are living this life, and they think they fooled everybody. They're making everybody think that they're such a good person by what they're doing, and really they're not living for God. It says the day is coming when the light of God is going to shine on that. It's going to expose it. It's amazing what you see when the light's turned on. You know, that closet you've got in the house, and you've kind of neglected it for years, and there's stuff in there, but you just think it's all right until you get the light and start shining around, saying, "Whoa. What's this mess all in here?" Over time, dust is collected and everything. And what do? You can do one of two things. You can either get the vacuum out or whatever and start scrubbing and cleaning or whatever, or you can just shut the door. Some people just shut the door. Why? Because the light has revealed something to them. It's kind of that way with God, you see. You're gonna be in the presence of God, but he's going to shine the light on your heart. He's going to shine the light on your motives. He's going to shine the light on your life. And all those things that you kind of pushed aside and you thought, you know, it's no big deal, it's no big thing, all of a sudden it's going to be exposed. Now what do? You know, we're always good at blaming someone else for our misery, right? That's the way it happens lots of times. It's never our fault. You know, our predicaments, it's always someone else. "Well, I didn't get a fair shake in life. Well, you don't know my background. Well, you don't know what I had to contend with. Well, you know what they did to me. Oh, you don't know what they said about me. Oh, you don't know that." And we find that what we're going through, all the various uncomfortable things we experience in life, it's always someone else. It's always someone else. You know what's going to happen? One day God's light's going to shine on our life, and guess what? The answer's going to come back. It wasn't somebody else. It was you. You. Foolish decisions you made. Foolish things you said. A life that wasn't responsible before God. A lack of discipline. All those things will come back. They'll be revealed one day in the light of God, His revealing light. And you know what? It couldn't be any other way, because it says God is light. So if you're around God, guess what? The light's going to shine. And guess what happens? Everything is exposed then. It all comes out. Also, we find that light not only reveals the truth about our lives here in 1 Corinthians 4, we see that, and in 1 John 1, 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. How about that? We say we have fellowship with him, but we're walking in darkness. People say they love God, they love Christ, they know the Lord, and yet their lives don't match up with it, their words don't match up with it. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my salvation, my strength and my redeemer. Why does it say that? Because, you see, you are revealed. You are revealed in what you say and what you do, the essence of who you are. It's amazing. People say things. You can be in church praising God one day, and then all of a sudden, the vitriol and the filth that comes out of people's mouths afterwards. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Did someone force you? No. It came from you. It reveals what's really there. You sing in the choir, or you can do some good deed to somebody, and then you can say things, and guess what? That's what really reveals who you are, what you are. It's what comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember that. So you can say what you want. Well, I've done this, I've done that, I've tried my best. You can blame other people all you want, but that doesn't cut it with God. The light of God is going to reveal some things one day. And if you've been saying things or whatever, guess where that comes from? No one else forced you to do that. You could be a peacemaker. You know, all of us, there are times in life when you say, well, life isn't fair to me. Well, I could say that. I could look back at my life. I could say, well, there are times in my life and it just wasn't fair. But guess what? That's not going to cut it with God. He's going to say, okay, but what did you do? What did you do with your life? What did you do with those circumstances? It's not so much, you know, who did this or who did what. It's how you react to certain things. It's what you do with the situation that's before you. It's what you do in those circumstances of life that we're all faced with. Did you react unbecomingly? Or did you act in the way Christ would have you? Did you act as if the light of God was shining through you, giving you direction into what to say and what to do? This is very important. 1 John talks about it. It says, if you say you have fellowship with him, who's that? Well, that's professing Christians. And then you walk in darkness. What's that? Well, that's doing things, saying things that are inappropriate, that are not pleasing to God. Then the scripture says this. If that's the case, then we lie. What do we lie about? We lie about being people of God. The lie is that saying that we're a Christian or saying we're born again or whatever, that's the lie. Because our words and our actions don't bear it out. Now, I didn't say that. That's God's word that says that. You can find it right there, 1 John 1:6. In 1 John 2:9, it says, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. That's another thing. You know, sometimes you hold a grudge or whatever, and it gets to the point where you really hate someone, especially who's another brother in Christ or sister in the Lord. You have to be very careful. Now, you can disagree on some things, but you have to be careful. You don't allow that to go beyond and actually become hate. Because if it becomes hate, then that's something that's going to stand between you and God. And in 1 John, the second chapter, in verse 11, it says, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's the strength of the darkness that blinds people's eyes. That's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. We're talking about the importance of light in the Christian life and the absence of it, how it can affect us. Well, so light reveals the truth about our lives. Last thing I want to just point out to you, that the wonder of the Christmas story is the fact that in spite of all these things, we're reminded by the lights of Christmas that Jesus, he is the light that leads to salvation. He is the light that leads to salvation. Why do we celebrate? Well, some celebrate because it's just a thing they've done, tradition. You know, it's tradition. I already mentioned some like the idea of getting gifts. What is the essence of Christmas? Well, it depends on who you talk to. For some people, it's a jolly little guy, fat little guy in a red suit with white hair and a beard, and who gets, it's amazing. I don't know how he can be so fat and jolly. He still gets down the chimney, you know. But he comes down the chimney, you know, gives presents. That's what Christmas is for some folk and all that, you know. What is the essence? My wife and I came across a beautiful painting the other day. In fact, we purchased it. We thought it was so neat. And it's a picture that the artist, I believe, is inspired to do. And it's a picture of Santa. And he's come down. He's in the house. And there's a table nearby with a creche scene, you know, the nativity scene. But what he's done is this. He's picked up the manger with the Christ child in it. So you have Santa, and you have the creche scene and the nativity scene. But here he is, and he's got that in his hand. He's looking at it, and it's entitled, I Believe. And then there's a beautiful poem that goes on that the artist wrote. He wrote this poem. It's beautiful. We were so taken by it. And I thought, you know, that really is the real meaning of Christmas. So it's fun to have the little traditions that we have. It's fun to have the kids. And I'm not averse to that. There's some Christians get all upset about talking about Santa and Christmas trees and all that. I don't get upset about it. Listen, let kids have a good time. Let the adults have a good time. Some of us are just big kids anyways, you know. You can have a good time with a holiday and yet still know the real meaning of it. The real meaning has to do with the light of Christmas, Jesus himself. He is the light of Christmas. And so we adorn our homes and we have the Christmas lights and all of the ornaments and things to remind us of the joy that there is in Christ. It reminds us of joy and the celebratory fact that we celebrate Christmas and we don't just ignore it. And if that's not your thing, don't get down on anybody else because they celebrate that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, harmless. We all know the real meaning is Christ. And we focus on the light of Christmas, Jesus. So we can have our celebrations and it can be filled with joy and we can have a lot of these traditions that we like and that are meaningful to us and still know that the real reason we celebrate is because of the Lord. Jesus is a light that leads to salvation. And it says this, it says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the coming together of the message of Christmas and the life, the overcoming life of the Christian. The light of Christmas, Jesus, in our lives. That's the child of God walking in the light, walking in the light of Christmas, walking in the light of Christ. And it says that if we will do that, if we walk in the light, as he himself is the light, he is the light. And if we walk in his light, we have fellowship with one another. We have that wonderful harmony. We don't have any backbiting. We don't have anybody whose feelings are getting hurt or whatever. We love one another. We understand. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. And, you know, cut your brother or sister a little slack from time to time, you know. Everybody has a bad day from time to time. Hopefully it's not every day. But you know, understand that we, as the fellowship of believers, we can make mistakes. Don't hold it against your brother or your sister for a lifetime. Yeah. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we then have fellowship with one another. That's important. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleansing. That's what I want in my heart. I want the cleansing of the light of God in my heart. I don't want to just celebrate just to celebrate. I don't want to just celebrate to have a good time. I want it to be meaningful. The light of Christmas speaks to me of the light of God. And the light of God needs to be something that is just not a theory, something we believe, but it should be something we have in our hearts. And it is the light of God, I believe, that's in the heart of the believer. That shines, that radiates, that attracts the unbeliever, the people who walk in darkness, those individuals who don't know where they're going, those are the ones who should see a great light And it should be the light of God. And it can be the light of God that shines in us. Would you bow your hearts in prayer? Jesus, that's what we want. There's a lot of things we could focus on this Christmas time. Certainly there's a lot of pain in the world. There are a lot of serious things going on. But God, I think it's right and appropriate for us as a church to pause and to remember the real meaning of Christmas, what it's all about, and to know that there is an eternal light that shines. It's so easy to forget that. So easy to get caught up in the demands of the hour, the planning, and even the festivities, and to miss it when it comes to really appreciating what it's all about. So, Lord, I pray for your people, God, that you'll help us more than anything else to desire your light this Christmas season. May it shine in us brightly, Lord, as a witness to others. So many need to see. Perhaps it's somebody, maybe a retail clerk in a store who's had a difficult day and you can see they're frustrated and all they need is someone with a smile to appreciate what they're doing, to let them know they appreciate them and maybe just wish them a Merry Christmas. The little things in life that so often go undone, that if done, could make a difference in somebody's life. Lord, help us to be sensitive. Help us to be sensitive to the world around us and realize that there is a light that shines within us, and let us allow that light to shine forth in such a way that it has a positive effect on others. Help us, Lord, to point some soul in a darkened world, to point them in the direction of the light of the world, Jesus. Help us to do that this very season. And it'll truly be a joyous one for us because we know then that we celebrate not just for the celebration itself, but we have an awareness in our hearts that God loves this world. We have an awareness of the lateness of the hour. We have an awareness of the soon coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and the need to live in the light of God. Help us, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Help us to be your light in this dark world, to help people find their way to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Emmanuel. God with us. Sing it. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. God. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel.
Father, as we conclude this service this morning, I pray that each one of us might renew our commitment to you. And Lord, perhaps just ask you how you might be able to use us in the next few weeks as we approach this great time of celebration, the birth of Jesus, the Christ, the Lord. God, there are undoubtedly individuals that we reach, that we have contact with, that most of us in this place, others don't have contact with. There are opportunities that some of us have that no one else is going to have that opportunity. There's somebody out there, somebody just waiting for someone to tell them about you. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be faithful. And over these next few weeks, help us to at least lead one person to the giver of life. What a Christmas it would be for us if all of us could say we won at least just one person. We brought them to you, Lord. We let the light of God in our lives lead the way. And they saw you in us, and they came to you, God. What a wonderful celebration we would have together, rejoicing in those who found you, the Christ of Christmas, the light of the world. We could do that if we really put our hearts to it, if we really centered on that and said, Lord, this is something we want to do. This is something I want to do. Help us, God, to make that the goal so that someone else might come to know you. Now may your grace, your peace, and your blessing be upon your people until again we are gathered in your presence, rejoicing in your goodness. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.